Vince Grella, former Serie A, Serie B and Premier League footballer, part of Australia's golden generation who took on Ronaldo's Brazil and Totti's Italy at the FIFA World Cup. These days, Grella serves as vice president at Italian third division side Catania FC, where he spends most of his time doing the day-to-day operations and taking on the savage Sicilian media. Join me, David Farini, as Destination Calcio goes to Catania headquarters for an in-depth chat with a man carrying out an all-Australian plan to bring a former top-flight club back to Serie B and beyond.
It's Destination Calcio, but here it's Destination Catania with one of the legends of Serie A, Serie B, Socceroos, Mr. Vince Grella, the vice president of Catania FC. So glad you could join us and thanks for making the time.
I appreciate the invite and my pleasure to be here.
Yeah, we're in your home. You can see the Catania FC logo in the background. We're here at the Stadio Angelo Massimino. Tell us about the ambitions of Catania FC, how it all began with yourself as well.
It started 2.5 years ago with an introduction made by Mark Bresciano to a very strong, ambitious entrepreneur from Melbourne, Mr. Rosario Pellegra, who expressed the interest in buying a football club in Italy. Mark had made contact with me and this opportunity with Catania popped up. I was not aware of the origins of the Pellegra family, which are not far from Catania. This obviously touched a few sentimental buttons of the Pellegra family. And to explain a little bit about our president, Rosario Pellegra, in the space of 48 hours, he decided to take over the club with a passion and drive. In my career in football, I'd very rarely seen a president with this type of ambition and drive and investment of time behind the project.
And you played under a lot of presidents. I had a lot of
presidents in Italian football, some more successful than others. Point being, this guy is flying back and forwards from Australia to Italy, like as if he was going from Melbourne to Sydney. And I always ask him about his physical state and jet lag, and I have never heard the guy complain once. His number one interest and focus is that the team does well, the team is successful, that the club is able to engage with the people, and that we're able to recreate the enthusiasm that was lost after the bankruptcy of the previous ownership, and that the club is always spreading and expanding in the community. If you were to see the amount of initiatives the football club is doing today in the community, it's probably more than the club done in the last maybe 10 years.
Yeah, I've seen your presser where you speak about the numbers, huge numbers there. You've got that catchment area, you've got coaches you're helping develop. So you really try, and I think you've challenged that if you don't get one player out of the youth system, you're going to shout someone dinner every Friday night. I saw that somewhere. So the challenge is there.
We have identified over 5,000 young footballers through our affiliation program. We are unfortunately a little bit behind with regards to infrastructure, because when we took over the club, basically the club was
Ground zero
is probably an understatement. And we have to sometimes prioritize in different types of investments that the chairman decides to make at the time. But there's no doubt when we have the infrastructure in place that we know will be able to provide us with the platform to build our own players in-house, I think that the future will be very bright for Catania Football Club. And this will show again the involvement of the Pellegra family, not only for the football club, but for the whole, let's say, community and territory around Catania, with more investments that he's been making, shows the true intentions of this entrepreneur, not only to have a football club as a little toy, but to actually leave something that is going to last in time.
Yeah, and Do you think there's that mentality of so many, obviously Australian born, we know what it's like to have an immigrant family go over there to look for work. You get that work mentality, the ethics there. If you don't have a hard work ethic, you know, you're nothing the Italian-Australian family. Do you think that's something that Ross and yourself and Mark bring to this project here, like tenacity, those kind of things?
I think in our different fields, I think me and Mark obviously coming from a football background and having to obviously make the sacrifices that we've made to have the success that we had, is also linked to our upbringing. You know, if you look at Mark's family upbringing or my family upbringing, both of our fathers were hard-working laborers who, you know, didn't take many days off for a sore throat or, or a little bit of fever. And if you look at the Pellegra family and his history and his story, about a 14-year-old who goes on the job site with his grandfather and is pouring concrete and he's working, you know, long hours, and then he's going home, he's having a shower, he's going to meet with people with his grandfather who's learning the trade at 14 years old and basically knows every single job that exists in a building site. So electrician, plumber, concreter, you name it, he knows it, he studied it. And that's the beauty of the guy, because in everything he does, he wants to be able to do it himself.
He wants to know everything.
And then he would let someone manage it, but he will know how to do it himself.
He'll already know how it should be managed, therefore he can oversee.
And there's no surprise why the guy's had the success that he had, not only together with his family, but him as a vision and as a young man who has a lot of courage, because he takes on some very, let's say, not so conventional projects, which he always seems to get the best out of. He's a special guy.
Oh, that's good. Obviously, the project's coming along. Catania FC now in Serie C. You guys are also looking to go back to your roots. I remember you saying something about the logo, trying to get the old logo.
Yeah. We have officially put a proposal forward for the old logo. And now it will be included in a deal linked to the old training facility, which was part of the bankruptcy and has been blocked by the bankruptcy administrators. We're trying to find, let's say, the right balance for a very big property, very complicated property, which is not only, let's say, a football training center. It's a little bit of a multi-purpose training facility.
That's Torre del Grifo.
Okay. Which the multi-purpose part is what adds to the complications, because if you don't have a strong team of professionals where everybody a little bit knows that field, this was part of the reason why that property then went into bankruptcy administrator's hands. It's a very big property, not easy to manage. So we will have to be very, very cautious and have a very good plan in place to make it work.
Okay, at the moment you're playing at the Massimino, you're always gonna play here. You've got a training center nearby, is the Cibellino, I believe?
Yes.
Is that where the team's training at the moment?
Yes, at the moment the team is using the stadium as its base. We have the ability to train on the main field 2 times per week. We have a field behind the one of the stands, which is not full size, it's a little bit shorter than the full size. But at the end of the day, it's always important what you do on the field, not what the field is. Because I've seen a lot of training facilities with, you know, 7 fields, 10 fields, 12 fields. But when they go on the field, they're not quite sure what they should be doing out there. So I think if you have a strong identity and a strong football plan, and then you just need to be a little bit flexible and deal with what you have in front of you. If that's what we have at the moment, we're going to make it work, and we're going to make it sound like that has nothing to do with a negative result.
And at the moment,
we'll control the controllables.
Looking at what's in front of you right now, you started this project 2-3 years ago. Since then, you've gone on. We've got the trophies here, Serie D, Serie C, Coppa Italia there. You won against Padova in the final. It seems to be a ladder here that you're trying to ascend back into Serie B, back into Serie A. The long-term ambition of the club, obviously, to reach the summit.
The ambition of the club is to bring this city back to Serie A. This is the ninth biggest city of Italy. This is a city that belongs in the Serie A. Our job is to build the foundations that when we get back to Serie A, whether it's a year sooner or a year later, that the club has built the foundations to stay in the Serie A, that the club creates financial mechanisms that create a sustainability, that whether there is Rosario Peligra, who's a very strong entrepreneur and can maybe bring to this club and to this city finances that maybe someone else is not able to bring, but that the club can auto-finance itself. This is the main goal of the Peligra family, and between myself and Mark, to try to build the foundations that the club in Serie A can run itself.
And they've got two former Serie A players running. It is great to see. What is going to happen if I come back in, say, 6-7 months time and all of a sudden you're in Serie B? Is that something that you're thinking about at the moment, it's a convoluted system to get up there in the playoffs, but still it's achievable?
I think that every club that goes into the playoffs is thinking what we're thinking. There's 27 teams and only one team's going to win. What's the difference between the teams that win and the teams that don't win? Is it a combination of, I believe I can win? Is it, I have a little bit of luck on the day? But someone's going to win the playoffs. Now, we need to believe that we are going to be that team. Because only if you believe you're going to be that team, you have a chance to win it. And then if we are kissed a little bit on the forehead, maybe the luck will bounce in our way. But only if you believe that you're going to be that one of 27 teams. Because everybody's thinking the same. Very difficult to win. And they're already starting to put their hands a bit forward. Because if you don't win, then you say, it was the playoffs. It's a bit difficult to win, you know. I don't want our club to think like that. I think of Carrarese last year, and I think of Catania this year. And I think, why did Carrarese win? There is a reason why they beat their opposition.
Self-belief?
They believed that they could win.
And now that they've been there this year, it's a great little stadium as well, and that maybe Catania can get there. You've got two former Serie A guys at the helm. You've got also the right recipe there, the Italian-Australian flavour with Rosario Peligra as well, and it seems like a great project. We're going to be here for the game tomorrow, and that is a six-pointer in itself, isn't it? Because you're chasing Crotone. Eh?
It's a big game. We have now gone six games undefeated. We have
won the big derby as well.
We won the derby. We have regained a little bit of faith within the playing roster. We have also regained some of the injured players, which for the coach, for the coaching staff, and also for the training intensity and level. When there's competition during the week, the training level and intensity rises. Everybody's fighting for a position. This helps the coach. This helps that who plays knows that there's a player on the bench who could quite easily take his position. And this raises a little bit performance. And I think this last 2 months, there's been a small change also in the feeling between the players and staff.
A little bit of electricity.
Good vibe from outside. I tried to keep my distance from the team because of my role inside of the club. And as an ex-footballer, you are always attracted to the playing team and to the coaching staff, just because that's what we've always done. But as, let's say, the highest representative of the Peligra family here on the ground, I always have to keep a little bit of distance. because that distance helps you make decisions in difficult times, and you don't get too attached to people in different roles. I strongly believe that we have all of the cards to win promotion. We have our head coach who's won 5 times the title. So he knows what it takes to win, and he knows what it smells like to win. So if he doesn't get the right sensations under his nose, he knows how to make the adjustments and modifications that maybe somebody who's never won will know what it smells like. This is a very, very big advantage. Plus, we have some of our key players who, for a reason and who for another, during this season have not quite hit their straps. They've been underperforming, and we feel that their performances are coming back at the right time of the year to where they should be. So,
and that's what you need. You need that momentum building, because that playoff, it's like another season. Especially
for sure.
If you finish lower down, if you finish 10th, you have to play all the way through. You got way more chance of getting knocked out. It's a harder run.
We hope to regain the atmosphere at the stadium, which is a little bit like the 12th man on the field. Unfortunately, for problems linked to some negativity, some local media who wanted to dismantle not only a football project, but like the bigger design of a plan because of a few negative results, there's created a very negative atmosphere at the stadium.
That's something I wanted to ask you about, like managing expectations. It's different with hierarchy, players, the club, and then you've got a whole pubblico out there that really do live vicariously. They're weak. If there's a positive result, they're having a good week. If they have a bad result for the club, you know, it's almost depression status. How do you, what's your experience with trying to manage those expectations of the?
It's very complicated, because obviously in our approach in the first 2.5 years, in our relations also with the media and let's say in general, the stakeholders, has always been very respectful. And let's say we have been ultra cautious in not giving false hopes, and between not giving false hopes but also talking about what is the bigger plan, what is the project, the amount of money that the Pellegra family has invested in the football club. There has been no president that has spent even close to this amount of money, and we are in the third division. This is a sign of not only the strength of the individual, but the intentions of the individual. And why would he spend so much money to stop all of a sudden?
And as you know, nothing happens overnight in Italy. So.
And unfortunately, because we have, like in every big city, like in every club, you always have a group of all local media, all people who were all previously involved in the club or would like to be involved in the club, who continually attack anything that happens in the football club to dismantle enthusiasm, to create very pity issues, because a lot of the times we talk about nothing really. There was a lot of comments around, let's call it the balance sheets of the club, where the club has a loss. But all of the Serie C clubs have a loss. But all of a sudden in Catania, there was this analysis of the balance sheet of the club, which they had never done ever before. But all of a sudden, with the Pellegra family and with my management, they all of a sudden wanted to make various analysis of the balance sheet of the club without having the skill set to read the thing, because I have two accountants and an external advisor who's an accountant who explained to me about the balance sheet. It would take them days to explain it to me. I still don't really understand, but it's so technical.
Forensics,
that it's so complicated that not even an accountant can explain it to you. And we had, for the best part of 3 weeks, only talk about a balance sheet, which the losses were all covered by the Pellegrini family, meaning the club has zero debt, which is not, again, a normal thing in Italian football. All Italian clubs carry a little bit of debt because that's just the way it is over here. And
so the clubs but this guy,
we have zero debt. He covers the debt all the time. But why I made this passage was only linked to the negativity that these people have created, putting doubts in the ambitions of the Pellegrini family. And if you think about the amount of money you spend and why would he change now, you would have to be with an ulterior motive to continue to go on about the same thing.
Yeah, it's almost as if the media, and we're not here to do the forensics on the numbers, I assure you that.
No, it's almost
as if they need something to write about, and perhaps they've
you could write about so many things, and what we have always tried to do was to not make them ever think that they couldn't ask a hard question and they were not going to get a sincere answer. We always allowed them to ask whatever they thought they needed to ask. We never filtered questions. We always gave large space for them to ask questions, whether it be in an official way or unofficial way. I always believed, because I don't believe it anymore, that for there to be good relations, you need to create a two-way respect. Respect is not a one-way street. You want to have respect, then you need to be able to give. Now, unfortunately, because of their character, their background, their level as a person, they pretend a certain level of respect which they don't give back. So the club has no choice but to protect its best interest, because we can only show respect to who deserves to be respected. And they unfortunately have lost this opportunity.
Well, at least in footballing terms, the rebirth of Catania is getting respect around the planet, and that's what we're hoping continues to snowball for you. And we want to see Catania back up in the Serie B, then in Serie A. So, you know, let's round it off on a positive, and let's hope that tomorrow you get a massive result as well.
Fingers crossed.
Is there a good luck little charm in Sicilian culture, maybe, that you... the Cordini or the...
There's the Cordini. There's a lot of salt being thrown in the stands and on the field. I'm not a superstitious person. When I played football, I never thought about the same jocks or put the right sock on instead of the left sock or all of that type of stuff. I never really believed in it. I don't believe in it now, but I don't dismantle people who believe in it. If that's what rocks your boat and it makes you feel good and you want to wear the same jocks or the same jacket or the same side, I'm happy for you.
I changed mine this morning.
Yeah. The main thing is that we create a good feel and a good environment, and we win together and we lose together. There's not one person who wins and there's not one person who loses. If we can change this mentality, because unfortunately we always need to add to the bandwagon. Because when we win, the bandwagon's never big enough.
Yeah, it gets bigger.
But when you lose, it's always someone's fault. Now, if we can't help them understand that that mentality is not going to bring success to the football club, and if we win, we win together, and if we lose, we will lose together, and this mentality, apart from the classical cliche that we heard since we were kids, but those words there will make the difference in this football club. Because only by thinking in this way, when we don't win, we'll win quicker. Because if you lose one game of football, there's a Sunday after that you can win a game of football. But what happens here is if you lose a game of football, they drag it on for so long that you go into the next game with wanted to point the finger at somebody. This mentality is not going to bring success to this football club.
Well, now that you're in a management position, vice president of Catania, do you see any similarities from ultra-critical people during your playing days to the present?
I've been criticised as a player by a journalist in the past, and I don't want to mix the apples with the oranges because it would be... there's still a fruit, but an apple's an apple and an orange is an orange. I was criticised by journalists in Serie A. Whether I agreed or not with their analysis, they were people who watched and lived and had experience in Serie A. The challenge that we have today is the mentality of the football club, the mentality of the administrators is always to be in the line and the professionalism of a Serie A environment. But we play in Serie C. So we need to be able to manage this in a very, let's say, intelligent way. Because we can't expect what we would expect in Serie A in Serie C, because it's not the same thing. With regards to the analysis of the journalists, local journalists, whether I agree with them or not, I will always have respect for another person's opinion. Always. I don't have to agree. There's only one thing that really annoys me is when their analysis becomes something personal. It's not objective. It's not linked to actually a situation that has occurred, but it's linked to something previous that they need to take that stone out of their shoe. This is something that annoys me because this dismantles the enthusiasm of the football club for no reason but that person having some personal satisfaction for 5 minutes.
Actually, something that we see a lot, we go to a lot of press conferences and journalists aren't asking questions. They're letting the coach know their opinion, and then the coach is always like, and the question? So we've been there, we've seen it everywhere, it's in all the divisions.
There you go, you beat me to it, in the sense that this is something that it's not that I don't struggle with it, I don't comprehend it, because inside of a winning environment, there's like more components. There's a football club, there's an administration, there's a coaching staff, there's a medical staff, there's a playing roster, there's a supporter base, there's a local journalism. This becomes a little bit of a family. This family needs to be talking a similar language. That doesn't mean you need to say I'm doing a good job if I'm not doing a good job. But you also need to have a little bit of a more open vision and be a little bit more objective, because your comments, which are every day, can condition that person who's listened to you from Monday to Saturday and then comes to the stadium on Sunday. With what type of spirit is he coming to the stadium? Is he coming to the stadium with a nice, positive, we're going to take on the whole Serie C, we're going to take on the playoffs, we're going to go to Serie B together? Because if we go to Serie B, Vince Grella is not going to Serie B. Rosario Peligra is not going to Serie B by himself. We are all going to Serie B. Because that is the objective. But unfortunately, when you have a very weak personality and you need to talk about me often, what I'm just talking to you about is never going to work.
We are not into shock journalism. and the English-speaking media, we actually have these issues a lot with Italian clubs where they're actually worried that we're out to get them in the Italian way, and we have to reassure them, look, we're here to ask questions. But
I've been here for nearly 26 years now, so I know how it works.
Look,
a long time.
The Catania Express, let's hope that it keeps going in the right direction. You've got the silverware to show, Serie D, Serie C.
First trophy in the history of the football club. You can go and find out, because there is a little bit of talk about when the club actually started. I don't want to get involved in which year, which day, which month. So you can follow that bit up yourself. The point being, that the first official trophy won by this football club was won by the Peligra, or Catania Football Club, owned by Rosario Peligra, the first chairman to win a trophy. There's been chairman before him, very successful. There's a lot of people who continually talk about that, but the first official trophy won by the club was by the Peligra management.
And the rebirth is here, the Rinascimento of Catania. And let's hope that the Grella Bresciano Peligra combination with Catania FC, the whole community, everything keeps going in the right direction. We want to see you in Serie B, first and foremost. And yeah. Then, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Then get to Serie A, slow. Show us what you got in the second division. And you've been there and played there. And we hope that you can lead this club up.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure. And thank you for the invite.
Pleasure. Thank you.